Man, it's so good to be here with you guys. Thanks for choosing Bethel. Thanks for coming to worship with us this morning. Will you do me a favor? Will you put your hands together and welcome all of our online watchers and just let them know that we love them and we're glad they're here too. And speaking of Conrad, speaking of our online watchers, hey, y'all give me some lights out there so I can see who I'm preaching to. I need to make eye contact with some of you folk out there. Speaking of our online watchers, you know what? It's just good sometimes to celebrate what God's doing. And so just share with you today. Today, online, Chad and Candace Langley are watching from the hospital in Abilene. And they had a 28-week-old baby born this week who is doing absolutely amazing. His name is Slide Cody. And yes, let's give them some love and let you guys know we love y'all. And so cool, man, just to see what God's doing. The gift of life is so precious and so powerful. And so, actually, his name's not Slide Cody. I just said that, just so y'all know. I begged him and I tried to get him to name him that, but they didn't do that. So we're going to jump right into the scripture today. We're going to read a story that's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first three gospels. We're going to read a story about a man who was paralyzed. A man who was paralyzed, he could not move, and we're going to look and see how this man had a moment in the presence of Jesus. He had a moment that changed his life forever. And so today we're going to start off reading in Matthew chapter 9. If you want to flip there in your Bible, if you want to open your phone up, Matthew chapter 9, scriptures will also be on the screen. We're going to read that scripture and then we're going to pray and we'll unpack this and see what the Lord would say to us today. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And getting into the boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. That's Jesus. And behold, some people brought to him a paralyzed man laying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the guy that was paralyzed, "Take heart, my son, your sins have been forgiven." Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us today. We thank you for this place that we call Bethel. We thank you for this place where we can come and worship you and hear your word. And we just pray today that you would speak to each one of us. Lord, we come here in different situations in life, different circumstances. We all come here because we need you, Lord. We need your guidance. We need your power. So I ask you to make these words be real and relevant and personal to us today. Let us leave changed because we've heard from you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, the first thing I want to talk about a little bit right here is this. I think it's worth noting the scripture says Jesus crossed over to the other side. Jesus crossed over to the other side. And the reason that I love that is because oftentimes on the other side, we don't know what we're going to get into. Often when we push to the other side, there's a little bit of fear, there's a little bit of worry. But what I love about Jesus and the example that he set for us is he was always willing to be pushed and he was always willing to push others around him. And I just want to take a moment and I just want to tell you, do not settle for where you are right now. Come on, somebody. Do not settle for where you are right now. You may be at a good spot. You may be at a better place than you've ever been, but don't settle because I want to tell you something. You can do more. You can do more. Maybe you've never been told that anybody in your whole life, but I'm here to tell you, according to the word of God, you can do more. I want to tell you, you can do better. I want to tell you, let me ask you this. Has God been good to anybody in this place? Shout yes this morning. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God has gooder for you on the other side of the river. God has better for you. We have to be willing to be pushed and we have to willing to push ourselves. We can do more. If we're honest and we're really, really real, it's easy for us as humans, it's easy for us to get to a place in our life, to get to this place physically, to get to this place mentally, emotionally, and especially spiritually, where we go, you know what? This is pretty comfortable right here. I'm better than I ever was before. You know, it's easy for us to get to this place and stay there. And I want to push you today. Sometimes we get in these places and we're not willing to do hard things to get out of where we are. Can I tell you, Jesus always did hard things. And you know what? It's time for you and I to choose to do some harder things. It's time for you and I to say, I'm not going to always do what's easy. I'm not going to do what I've always done. I'm not going to do what my parents told me to do. I'm not going to do what everybody else has told me to do. Something inside of me says I can be better. Something inside of me says God wants to do more, and I am going to be willing to do hard things. Do hard things. One of the greatest presidents of the United States of America ever. I don't know how great he was, but he was the manliest president ever. Teddy Roosevelt. He said this. He said, no man that has ever lived a life of ease was worth remembering. Should I say that again? No man that's ever lived a life of ease has ever been worth remembering. The people that we love, the people that we look up to, they did hard things. They overcame obstacles. They allowed themselves to be pushed by God. Jesus never chose the easy way, and nor should you and I. Be pushed. Let's go to the other side. Jesus pushes to go to the other side. It's important for us to look at the scripture and see where Jesus was going. What's across this river as he crosses it? Where is he going? Well, he's going to his hometown. How many of you know? Look at me. Look. Nobody knows you like your hometown knows you. Can I get a witness? Nobody knows you like your hometown, and nobody knows you like your home. We have to look at the history. Matthew chapter 13, verse 54 through 58. Here's what it looked like for Jesus in his own hometown. And coming to his hometown, Jesus taught them in their churches. So they were astonished, and they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Isn't he just the carpenter's son? Isn't he just a cowboy? Isn't she just a homemaker? Where did this come from? Is it not just the son of Mary? And are not all these his brothers? And all his sisters are with us? Where then did this man get these things? Watch verse number 57. And they were offended at Jesus. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus went back home. Back home, there were some haters. Back home, they tried to label him of who he was and how he grew up. Can I tell you? I understand this. I have been a pastor for 24 years in Anson, Texas. People still say, but I remember Cody. How can that guy be a preacher? I'm not going to listen to him. I know what he did back 30 years ago. See, people always want to do that. They always want to label you. Jesus knew that he couldn't do many mighty works, but he knew that God had one project for him. He knew that there was at least one man that he needed to go and reach, and he was willing to do hard things for other people. You and I, a man is not without profit except in his own hometown. Let me tell you a little quick story. We went to a men's retreat this weekend. Me and Will and Jesse and Darren and Connor, we went down there. And you know what, man? I preached a message. There was 200, 250 men in the room. I preached a message to them that I have preached to you before. And you know what happened down there on Friday night? Out of the 200 men that I preached to, 175 of them got up and came to the altar and got a touch from God. You know, hey, let me tell you, you know what happened last time I preached that message to you? You looked at me like this and turned your head. Jesus went back to a hard place. He was not afraid. This next scripture, I love it. It kind of makes me giggle deep down because here's what plays out when Jesus gets back to his hometown. He crossed the river, and when he gets there, Mark chapter 2, verse number 1 through 4, and when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported he was at home. And when he was at home, there were so many gathered together that there was no more room for anybody else, not even at the door. And he was preaching to them. And they came, bringing him a paralytic, carried by four. And when they couldn't even get close to him because of the crowd, they tore off the roof and they made an opening and they let him down on the bed and where the paralytic laid. This cracks me up, y'all. He gets no honor in his hometown, but he shows back up to his hometown and his house is full of people to hear what he's got to say. What the heck? It's like this. It's like they wouldn't honor him, but they couldn't get enough of him. It's like they didn't, they hated him, but they couldn't get enough of him. And the, one of the reasons I want to bring that out is I want to say this to you today. People are fickle. Can I get a witness? They will love you one day and hate you the next. In being a pastor for 24 years, me and Tubby have figured this out. You can lead them to Christ. You can perform the funeral of the ones in their family that have died. You can baptize them. You can dedicate their babies. And you can be the greatest person ever. But you make one decision that they don't like or go against what they think, and you be the sorriest son of a buck out there there is. People are fickle. And I bring that out because here's what I want you to see. Many of us in this room are people pleasers. We live our life to please people because we want this one to like me. I want them to think good of me. I want them to think I'm a good cowboy. Them, I'm a good preacher. Them, I'm a good mama. And what happens is we live our whole life putting on this facade, playing some kind of game in order to please somebody. And at the end of the day, they're probably going to be fickle anyway, and they're going to turn on you at some point. It's time that we start living not to please people, but to please God. Because when you live a life that's pleasing to God, God will go before you, and God will prepare a way, and God will work the miraculous in your life. Be careful about people pleasing. Can I just say this right quick to y'all? Look at me. Look. You got to be okay with some people not liking you. You got to be okay with not everybody's going to like me. You ain't running for president anyway. And guess what? Half the people don't like the president either. Just saying. Jesus is at his home, full of people. He's preaching the word of God to them, and here comes these four friends. We tell this story like it's just so smooth and it went so easy. Four friends carrying their one buddy who's crippled. One on each corner of his cot. I mean, I just love this. Like, how far did they carry their friend? I don't know. Did they come from Stanford? Was it 12 miles over here? Did they come from Holly? Was it 10 miles? I don't know. How much did their paralyzed friend weigh? How long did it take them to get there? Nonetheless, they want to get there, and they have this anticipation, and if we can get in the presence of Jesus, everything's going to be okay for our friend. And they get there, and they can't even get close to the window to look in and see what's going on. Think maybe they were frustrated? Have you ever tried to do something in your life and you had these preconceived ideas and you thought to yourself, if I do it this way, God's going to honor it and it's all going to work out and everything's going to be perfect? Let me ask you, how'd that work out for you? They get there. Their dreams, their hopes, they're crushed. They can't even get in. And then, how many of you know, with four friends, four different people, there had to be four different attitudes and opinions of what we need to do next. Come on, somebody. Everybody has got an opinion. Opinions are like butts, but belly buttons, belly buttons. Opinions are like belly buttons. Some of you got an innie, some of you got an outie, some of it looks like a light bulb. I don't know. Keep your belly button to yourself. Keep your opinions to yourself. They get there. They got four guys. They carry their friend. They get over there, and there's got to be this one guy. There's got to be Downer Dan in the crowd. Can I hear a good amen? There's got to be Negative Nancy in the crowd who just is so pessimistic, and you know what? Like, screw it. Let's just go home. I knew this was a stupid idea anyway. I knew it wasn't going to work. Y'all got them friends, right? You thinking about them in your mind right now. Maybe you're that one. Maybe somebody's thinking about you. There's got to be the negative one. Then there's got to be the chill one. Just like, yo, bro, it's okay, man. There's got to be a coffee shop around here. Let's just go chill a little bit, man. Everybody will leave sooner or later. And then, how about this one? Got to be the know-it-all there. Who knows everything? Who has an opinion about why this didn't work and what you could have done to do it better? And if you would have just listened to me, the know-it-all, how many would like to just choke that person? And there had to be a Calvinist in there somewhere. There had to be this Calvinist go, oh, this is just predestined. God is sovereign. My friend's just going to be crippled the rest of his life. But then, praise God, there had to be one in the crowd. That's the little bitty go-getter. There had to be one in the crowd that was the firecracker, that was positive. There had to be the Pentecostal, Holy Ghost-filled guy in the crowd that said, no, I didn't carry old big boy that far to get over here and let the devil stop me. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. There had to be one guy to rally the troops and say, we'll do what we got to do, and the devil ain't stopping us from getting old Bob in the presence of the Lord. There had to be. So before I move on, I got to ask you this question. Are you listening? Can I hear a good amen? Amen. Which friend are you? Which friend are you? Because some of you, you old negative Nancy, and you got to knock it off. You got to knock it off. Some of you Downer Dan, knock it off. Has God done anything in your life? Has God delivered you? Has God brought you through? Well, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you got to have some positivity and don't be looking at your problems, but start looking at your God. Which friend are you? Some of you just too chill. Can I preach to y'all today, 11 o'clock? Some of you need get a little fire in your booty. Come on, y'all. I know chill, but sometimes you got to get up and be a go-getter. Some of you, you know it all. Everybody's tired of listening to you. You know it all. One little firecracker said, you know what? We're going to do something. I don't know what we're going to do. He said, by golly, let's get up on the roof. Let's tear off the roof and let's lower him down in the deal over there. Oh my gosh, yes, okay, let's go. Let's get it up. Wait a minute, how are we going to get up on the roof? We got to find a ladder, and so they go here and they go there, and they finally drive up to Jesse Pate's pickup, and Jesse Pate is a window washer, and he has a ladder in the back of his pickup. So they get the ladder and they come over there and they lean the ladder up on the house. Can you, like, next you got to get old big boy up on the roof up there. And there's got to be a couple pulling him up and there's got to be a couple down low, and you can see what their view might be as they're trying to push old boy up on the top. They get up on the top, they're excited, and they go, well, crap, we got to cut a hole in this roof. Go get an axe, back down the ladder, go to the next door, get the axe, chop a hole in the roof, and then they go, oh, the hole, but we can't just throw old big boy and let him flop down there. We got to get a rope, and they went to Cole's pickup. Found four throw ropes. They weren't catch ropes. They were throw ropes, just saying. And they finally go through all the obstacles, and they let this old boy down in the presence of Jesus. In Mark chapter 2, verse number 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, you got to remember that word, and when Jesus saw their faith, the four men, the four friends, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus saw the faith of the crippled guy's friends, not his, when he saw their faith, the faith of friends, how many of you are thankful to have some friends that are faith-filled friends that believe God for you when you don't even believe God for yourself? Some faith-filled friends that believe God can work in your life. Not only that, the action of these faith-filled friends. This man got healed. His life was changed forever because of his friends. Because of his friends. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you about me. I'm better because of the friends I have in my life. See, we don't teach this in church. This is really good stuff. I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down, because we teach all this stuff in church, but we don't talk about friendships a lot. We don't teach people how to be friends. A lot of us don't grow up with friends. A lot of us have been hurt, and we have stuff in our past that hurt our heart or hurt our minds, and we just really suck at being friends. If we're going to be a part of the body of Christ and we're going to be salt and light as we go out in the world, we have to learn to be good friends, and we have to learn to surround ourselves with like-minded friends. Friends are so important. I have these friends in my life that I told you a while ago. Jennifer mentioned it while we were sitting on the front row down there. I'm thankful for my friends. My friends are these people that I do life with. I told you, me and Will and Jesse, and they're my boys, but they're my friends too. And Darren, like, he calls me daddy, but he's my friend. And then there's Connor, and we're friends, and we got to get in the pickup and use our gifts and use our ministry and go to Gatesville this week. And it was really good services, and the worship was great, but I'm telling you, there's just something cool about that bond of going back to the room after church and riding home in the pickup. It's friends. I'm better because of my friends. Nathan Dixon thinks I'm better because of him, but I'm struggling to overcome that friendship. And there's Jake, and there's Cole. There's so many of them. And Tubby, this is my wife. She's my friend. Claire Lynn, she's my best friend, y'all. I love her the most of all of my kids. There's an old saying that says this: show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. If you're really trying to cross over, if you're really trying to seek the Lord, if you're really trying to get better and do more, then you gotta have those good friends around you. Not only do we have to have those good friends, we have to be that good friend. And can I tell you something straight? You know what the Bible says? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And you need a friend that'll wound you once in a while. Come on, somebody. Not just a friend, you need a friend that will wound you. And I'm your friend, I'm not just your pastor, I'm your friend. And I'm gonna tell you, some of you are not good at being friends. And I say that in love, and I say that to bring an awareness to your mind, and I pray that the Holy Spirit grabs you, and I pray that you're challenged to be a better friend and have better relationships. Because here's the point, I guarantee you this: your friendship and my friendship, my faith and your faith, were given to you and I so that we could bring the miraculous to somebody else's life. I'll say it again. Your faith and your friendship was given to you by God so that it could bring the miraculous to the friends that you have in your life. Friends, greatest thing, man. Obviously, our relationship with God is number one. And obviously, we're going to talk more about it in a minute. Our home is our second greatest relationship. But I really believe the third greatest gift we have on this earth are the friends and the relationships that we have. Make friends. Be friends. How do you be a friend? You serve others. You be selfless. You be authentic. You be all real. You be real. Commit to be a better friend. Because John 15:13 says this: greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's what friends do. Lay down their life for you. Lay down their opinions for you. They lay down their friends. Can I say this right quick? Because some of you are like I used to be. You won't let somebody be your friend, and you won't let somebody carry you in the presence of God because you're too prideful. This man had to submit and said, okay, I will let you carry me. I will let you be a good friend. I would say this to you: let people be a friend to you, and don't rob them of the joy of sacrificing and laying down their self to serve you. I guarantee you, this guy viewed his friends and friendships differently after this moment. There's another story in the Old Testament of a guy named Job who struggled, man. He went through so many difficulties. In Job chapter 2, verse number 11 says this: when three of Job's friends heard of his tragedy that he had suffered, they got together, traveled from their homes to comfort him and to console him. I will say this to you: what friends do you have in your life that are struggling right now? What friends do you have in your life that are going through hardship and they're in the middle of pain right now? What friends do you have that the Holy Spirit might be moving on your heart to jump in your pickup, ride your horse, ride your donkey, call Uber if that works, but go over and see them and encourage them in the middle of the tragedy that they're going through? Friends, man, everybody shout friends. Here's what happened because of this guy's friends. Luke chapter 5, verse 24 through 25. Jesus says, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven you. And he said, son, pick up your bed and go home. And here's what I love about that. Immediately, he jumped up and he ran home. Can I just be real with y'all and shoot you straight? Some of you need to quit trying to crawl out of the mat, and you need to jump up immediately and say, I'm going to get back to living life. Because some of you crawling out. And you're crawling out on purpose, because if you crawl out and you make enough grunting noise and you let everybody know how miserable you were, they'll pay a little bit more attention to you. I know that because you posted it on social media and I saw it. And Jennifer felt sorry for you, but I did not. Just saying. because that's what Jesus does. He heals, he delivers, he saves, he sets free, he heals. And immediately that guy jumped up and said, I got a second chance and I'm going to take advantage of every opportunity I've got. Jump up and start to live life. Two things I want to say there. Jesus said two things to him. Son, your sins are forgiven you. And he also said, you're healed, pick up your bed and walk. Two things. How many know the God we serve is a God of completion that does not do things halfway? Jesus knew this man needed a physical healing. And our God still heals physically. You read the word of God. By his stripes we are healed. The Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. You can lay on hands and anoint and the sick shall recover. God heals physically. But talk about this other one. Son, your sins are forgiven. Because so many of us are shackled and condemned because of the sins that we've committed in our life. And you know what? Just being able to heal and get up and walk is not enough. Jesus said, I want you to be forgiven of your sins. I want all the old to be passed away and everything to be made new so that you can walk out, but you can still have good friends and good relationships. Jesus healed him completely. Notice this. The miracle took place in Jesus's home. The miracle took place in Jesus's home. Two times Jesus said to that man, pick up your mat and go to the coffee shop. Go to the ranch. Go to your job. Jesus said, I have healed you physically. I have healed you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And Jesus said, now I want you to take the new and improved you, and I want you to go immediately home because home needs to be fixed before everything else is fixed. Our family, my wife of 27 years, my children, my home, my marriage, my dwelling place, where I eat, where I sleep, me called to be the leader of my home, Jennifer called to be my helpmeet. Our homes need the heal to us to go home and get it fixed at home first and then worry about making money or climbing the corporate ladder. Oh, y'all got quiet, didn't you? Jesus said, go home, and I want to challenge you with this. You need to be your best you, and I need to be my best me when we're at home. Can I tell you what? Work on your home life. Can I tell you this? Work on you at home. She's good at working on me at home. Come on, somebody. I'm good at working on her at home. Jesus said, take the new you and what I've done, and you go work on you at home. You be present at home. You serve your home, your family. You love up there. Because here's the deal. If we're creating an unhealthy environment in our home, and fathers and husbands, if we're leading in an unhealthy way, everyone else will follow in an unhealthy way. Starts with the new me and the new you. It starts with allowing Jesus to heal us. Conrad worship team, come help me close, please. Here's what I want to say to you for the bottom line today. And I say it in love. You've been on this side long enough. It's time to cross over. I get it, it's tough. I get it, it's hard. I get it, you get in this place mentally. You get in this place emotionally. I get it, I understand. But you've been there long enough. It's time for you to take a step of faith and cross over to the other side believing God. And you know what? You need some friends to go with you. You need some friends to go with you. How many of you know friends help us do together what we can never do by ourselves? You need some friends. Friends bring healing. Friends bring relationship. And I'll say it again, some of you need to work on being a better friend. Friends, our faith and our friendship was meant to bring the miraculous to someone else's life. When we start living for others, when we start living for God and living for others, there's a satisfaction and a fulfillment that you can't get when you're just living for yourself. Friends, these friends brought their friend to Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? He healed that guy. How many know Jesus still heals today? Jesus still heals today. And some of you in this room, you have some physical ailments, real deal physical ailments. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus wants to touch you today. I believe that by faith. I believe that because I know who my Jesus is. And probably most of you are here not because you decided to come on your own, but because some friend invited you to church maybe years ago, but you're here because of your friends. And guess what? I'm your pastor, but I'm your friend too. And I want to see God heal you today. But not only physically, listen to me on this. Some of you need to be healed mentally today. Mentally. You are mentally messed up. This has happened. That has happened. Your mental space has been invaded. You've been hurt nonetheless, but because your mental space is invaded, it's overtaken your mind. And because it's overtaken your mind, now it's overtaken your heart, and your heart has got hard. And Jesus says, I don't want to just touch you and heal you physically. I want to touch you and heal you emotionally and in your heart and heal you spiritually as well. Jesus also wants to heal us relationally. Because if we're telling the truth, some of us hold everyone at arm's length and we're not good friends. And the reason that we're not good friends is because we got hurt 20 years ago by another friend. We got hurt by a spouse. We got went through this divorce. We got hurt by our parents. And so because we once got hurt, we let our heart get hard and we've been unhealthy our whole life. And now God is saying, I want to heal you and I want to take away your hard heart and I want to give you a new heart so that you can have the joys of having real friends and real relationships. So here's what I want to do today. I want to ask you. I want to invite you. If you're here and the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, and you know you need healing in some capacity, I'm going to ask you to get up and step across that threshold and step across that line and allow yourself to be pushed and cross the river. And I'm going to ask you to come down here to the front and stand right here. And I'm going to pray one prayer for all of you. Now is your time. One of you come, 100 of you come. I don't care. We'll make room for everybody. But Jesus is in the house. The door has been opened up. Your friends, your family are here with you. Nobody's holding judgment. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody wants to be healed. Everybody wants you to be healed. Praise the Lord. You can just keep coming. Y'all make some room. Go down the side, up the wall. It doesn't matter. It's healing in the house. And we're not talking about anything weird, and we're not talking about anything freaky. We just talking about our Savior who came and lived on this earth, and he laid down his life for me and you. When we were sinners, when we were living in the pig pen, when we were living in the far country, the Bible said Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he showed up. And because he laid down his life, now we can have new life and we can be redeemed. Now we can walk and jump and shout, and now we can have real relationships, change our marriage, change the relationship with our kids, change everything. That's what Jesus does. So I'm going to ask you just to bow your head and close your eyes. And you know what? It's not because of my prayer, not because of this band. It's because I speak Jesus over you. I speak Jesus over you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Creator, the Comforter, the everlasting God, our Father, our Healer, the elected Emmanuel, the Messiah, the Promised One, the Savior, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Prince of Peace, the Great Physician, Jesus. I speak Jesus over the life of every man and every woman and every young person in this that are in these altars today, Lord. I pray for healing right now for any kind of physical ailments that might be going on, any kind of physical ailments that are causing pain and allowing us not to enjoy everyday life. Lord, we thank you that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you forgive all of our sins and you heal all of our diseases. And so today in this moment, God, we pray that you would touch these people and heal them physically right now. Beyond that physical healing, Lord, I pray that you would heal us relationally. For those of us who struggle with being friends, for those of us who struggle with having friends, for those of us that have been hurt, I pray you would heal us relationally, and we would see the way you serve us, Jesus. We would see that you laid down your life for us, and in turn, we would be willing to lay our life down for others. That we would lay our life down for others. That old relationships don't matter. That old scars are healed up. That old divorces don't matter anymore. But right now, we get a new heart and a new mind and a new vision, and we begin to leave here and be greater friends. Greater friends outside, but greater friends in our homes. I pray for marriages right now, God. Marriage is the great institute of marriage, the biblical marriage that God laid out that was God's very first plan. Lord, I pray you draw husband and wife closer together. That God, you draw husband and wife closer together with you in the middle, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. And we remember that two are better than one. And we remember that God created the man to lead, and God created the wife to be the helpmeet, and then to raise up children. Bless families, bless children. Bless them, God. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Heal us spiritually, Lord. Heal us spiritually, Lord. Let us not settle. Heal us mentally, Lord. Do what you do. Do what the doctors of this world can't do. Do what medicine can't do. Do what self-help books can't do. Do what counselors can't do. Do what only you can do, God. Be God. Be glorified. Change lives. Change hearts. Bring healing in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names. Do it, oh God, and we'll jump up and we'll leave here shouting and praising your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together. Shout to the Lord. Praise the Lord today. Let's sing this song. Let's sing this song. You can go sit down. You can stay here. Let's close with worship.